The Robert Morris Colonials take to the brand new Joe Walton Stadium turf in Moon Township six times in 2015. Season, group, and individual game tickets are on sale now. New ticket prices for the 2015 football season are in effect and offer many group opportunities for Colonial fans to come out and support their favorite team. Season tickets start at just $40. Individual game tickets start at $10 if you buy in advance and $12 day of game. There are also special discounts for kids, seniors, and military. There will be several promotional giveaways and fireworks following the October 24th game against Duquesne. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit rmutickets.com or call the RMU Ticket Office at 412-397-4949.
Pittsburgh's college hockey team, the Robert Morris Colonials, take to the 84 Lumber Arena ice at the RMU Island Sports Center on Neville Island this season as defending Atlantic Hockey Conference champions. Season, group, and individual game tickets are on sale now. New ticket prices for the 2015-16 season are in effect and offer many great opportunities for Colonial fans to come out and support their favorite team. Season tickets start at just $120 for 15 games. Individual tickets start at just $10 if you buy in advance and $12 day of game. There are also special discounts for kids, seniors, and military, plus lots of promotional giveaways. For more information or to buy, visit rmutickets.com or call the RMU Ticket Office at 412-397-4949.
Sports Talk on Trib Live Radio.
Hell yeah!
Now, here's Ken Laird.
Your voice is like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
Trib Total Media. See what's next.
This is a John Banaszak result game if I've ever heard one. The one that he'll love now. On the road, conference opener. They hold the opponent to 6 points, sack the quarterback seven times, and keep them 1-for-14 on third downs. John Banaszak is the head football coach of Robert Morris University. He joins us now. Sounds like a great opener to me, John. Congrats on the win last week.
Well, thank you, Ken. It really was a throwback football game. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, the weather conditions were just awful. The wind was really amazing. You know, it was a steady 15 to 20 mile an hour wind with gusts up to 35. And the direction it was blowing was, you know, changed every 5 minutes. And it was just a game that, you know, we were able to survive the conditions and come out of there with a win.
I know you get the weather forecast. How quickly or how soon did you know this was going to be the case? And how dramatically did it change your game plan going in?
Well, we knew Friday night it was going to be bad. You know, it had rained all the way out there. It rained really, really heavy Friday night. It stopped somewhere during the evening or during the night, but the wind was certainly, you know, we knew that was going to be a factor in it. It really didn't change our game plan all that much. We knew we had to control the football, control the line of scrimmage, and we were able to do that on both sides.
A couple field goals that were key in the game, too, despite the wind. You got the game winner there. It was a short one, 19 yards, but I imagine with that kind of wind, there was no gimme field goal to be had.
Yeah, there sure wasn't. It really was. I mean, there were six field goals tried that game, and I thought both kickers were very good, being able to put the ball through the uprights, because the one that Wagner missed, the first one, the kid put it down the middle of the uprights, and the wind took that thing and almost blew it to the sideline. It took a right-hand turn, and it wasn't even close.
Well, and Connor Shedden gets it done for you. Kicks of 30, 36, and 19 yards. Was he the hero after the game, or was it, it's a collective team effort, huh?
He sure was the hero because of the conditions. And when you kick a game-winning field goal with 24 seconds left in the game, the kicker certainly gets a lot of the emotion and credit. He did do a really, really good job on Saturday, and for the second week in a row was the Northeast Conference Special Teams Player of the Week.
Great news. Now, in a game with wind, you had to run the ball, 38 carries, 186 yards, 4.4 per tote collectively. What did you think of the run game?
Oh, I thought the run game really came on strong. You know, we started the game without Matt Barr, our starting quarterback, all year because he gets hurt in South Dakota State. After the third series of the game, we had another good run by our quarterback, Reed McCoy, a freshman from that played at Kiski Prep. He gets his shoulder separated. Yeah. So now we're looking at putting our third freshman quarterback in the game, Tyler Brown, and Tyler Brown was a big factor in us winning that football game.
Yeah, I see Tyler had 13 pass attempts, so you trusted him enough to throw it some. I guess he must have had to,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you know, he threw the ball pretty well, in those conditions. And what we're looking for offensively, what we need to do is become more consistent in the drives that we have. When we stall out, we go three or four a series of three and out football, and we've got to remedy that very quickly. The second half was really a battle of attrition. Our defense forced Wagner into seven punts in the second half, only giving up 15 yards total offense, and we really played well defensively, and it gave our offense a chance to find something that worked. And with 4 minutes and 24 seconds left, we went on a 12-play, 68-yard drive to score the winning touchdown winning field goal with 24 seconds. And in that drive, Tyler Brown ripped off three straight runs of 10 yards, 10 yards, and 11 yards.
Wow!
Which was very, very impressive.
Did you know Tyler had that kind of poise about him to be in a tie game and a conference opener on the road and be ripping off big runs like that?
Well, you know what? These the three freshman quarterback that we've played so far this year seems like they have ice running through their veins. And they're really nothing fazes them. Tyler Brown was a second-team All-State quarterback out of Charleston, Spring Valley High School in Charleston, West Virginia. And, when the game was over, we talked about that's the way he played in high school. You know, he just put his shoulders down and ran north and south.
Well, what's the status here for the week? And whether or not Matt Barr comes back, have you seen some running ability in Tyler Brown that maybe you could use him in some packages? Or maybe he'll have to start for you for a couple weeks, huh?
Well, Matt Barr threw the ball yesterday, and is certainly getting better every day. Reed McCoy is definitely out with his shoulder. So Tyler Brown took most of the snaps yesterday, and obviously he knows that he's going to be the starting quarterback this week. So the focus was there yesterday. His reads improved during practice. He threw the ball much better yesterday than he's thrown it even through training camp. So we're going to call his number this weekend and see if he can pull out another victory for us.
And you play Sacred Heart at noon kickoff at Joe Walton Stadium. That's the home conference opener anyway. And obviously you guys are 1-0 to start the year, Coach, but what can you tell us about this week's matchup?
Well, they're the two-time defending Northeast Conference champions. They're a very well-coached football team. Their defense will cause nightmares for the offensive coordinator. They really do some things that are unusual in their coverage and some of the things that they do in their run defense. But the thing that anyone that comes to the game on Saturday will notice is that they get 11 people around the football at the end of the play. Very, very, very disciplined football team.
They got you up at their place last year. Looking back at last year's results, Ram had 70 yards rushing. Do you think you can run on them?
Oh, I think we can run on them, sure. You know, we have to be able to do that in order for us to have a chance to win the game. Ram is going to be healthy. Our stable is now three running backs with Ram and Cole Blake and Dante Satcher. Our offensive line has really matured every single game this year, led by Nick Faracci and Max Robertson, our two offensive co-captains. The big thing is that we've only missed in five games, we've only missed only had one player miss one start. So they've been intact, and they've improved every game.
And I'd be remiss not to let you crow about your defense a little bit here. Who stood out? I mean, seven sacks. It must have been a team effort to hold Wagner to 6 points this past week.
Yeah, it really was. Mike Stokovic, a defensive captain, and Forrest Mason, the two defensive captains, had great games. Mike Stokovic was the Northeast Conference Defensive Player of the Week. Forrest Mason had three sacks. They were going backwards the entire second half. At one point, it was third and 40. And a lot of that was self-inflicted on their part, but we certainly were a big, big part of that also.
John Banaszek, our guest, Robert Morris, football coach, home game this week, rmutickets.com. Take on the two-time defending champs over at Joe Walton Stadium. Go and support the guys. Before we let you go, John, can Connor, your kicker, help the Steelers out this week? Can you loan him on Monday night maybe with all the kicking problems the Steelers have had?
Yeah, well, you know, that may be – you know, man, there may be a future for Connor there. He really has a very strong leg. It's not as strong of a leg as I've had in my coaching years. And you know, he certainly is. As long if he continues to be consistent the way he has, you know, next year that there may be an opportunity for him somewhere in the National Football League.
Did you ever talk to the kickers and punters in the 70s back when you guys were playing? Were they considered parts of the team?
They were. I mean, we really had two really, really good kickers and punters while I was there. You know, Roy Girella and Matt Barr were two guys that were normal football players that were kickers.
And
our
punters
were the same way. Craig Colquitt and Bobby Walden. I mean, no one's better than Bobby Walden as a punter. But Colquitt came back and came in, did a great job. And obviously, you know, he's got two sons kicking in the National Football League. So there was an awful lot of punting blood running through their veins.
Two great nicknames, the Banaszek Bunch and Jarella's Gorillas, right? So you guys both had a fan club.
Yeah, that was pretty cool back then. There's no doubt about it. You know, Roy was a very special guy to me in my rookie year. You know, he's coaching college football out in New Mexico, so I know he's having a good time.
Hey, John, thanks for the time and the visit. Congrats on the win, and good luck this week.
Thank you very much, Ken. Talk to you next week.
All right, that's John Banaszek. Robert Morris, 1-0 in conference. Big game with Duquesne in 2 weeks, down to their third string freshman quarterback, but he ran for some big yards on the game-winning drive over Wagner at Staten Island this past week. All right, coming up top of the hour, Jagoff of the Week votes start. Guy Junker, Tim Benz alongside. It is Wild Card Wednesday. It's also Jagoff Wednesday coming up.